Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions, questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become, well, a reflection of God's love, a tool in the hand of God, light in this present darkness. That's what this show is all about. Got a good one today. We are celebrating the second Sunday of Advent, and we are reading from the Gospel of Matthew. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan was going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Wow. And what a gospel it is. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Call in the kids. It's going to be good. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk all about this gospel here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today we celebrate the second Sunday of Advent. And every year, on the second Sunday of Advent, the church introduces us to Mr. Advent himself. Of course, I'm talking about John the Baptist, one of the great titans of our faith, my spiritual hero. John the Baptist is whom I aspire to be. But honestly, in the end, I wind up a whole lot more like Peter. But anyway, as we celebrate this season we call Advent, there's really two things that are going on at the same time, running parallel. The first reason for Advent is, the more obvious reason, is we're preparing for the birth of Jesus. Baby Jesus, swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, the second reason, which is much more sublime, just under the surface, but just as real, is that we are preparing for the second coming of Jesus, or what is known as the second advent, or the apocalypse, or rapture. Now, This is a time when God will usher in the complete manifestation of his kingdom, or what we call heaven. Now, there's a whole lot of talk as to what that might look like, but the one thing that I think we can all agree upon is this. God is dissatisfied with the world in its present state. A world that has lost its way. A world that is far away from God. A world that has changed in many ways since the days of John the Baptist, but in this particular area, not so much. Because, of course, they were empty. They were far away from God. Sacrificial temple worship just wasn't working for them, which is why all of Judea and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the River Jordan as they acknowledged their sins. So they all go out there, and what does John the Baptist say? He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. The Greek word for repent is metanoia, which means to change one's mind. Now, the Hebrew counterpart to that word is shuv or shove. Not exactly sure how you say it, but that word implies more than simply thinking a different way, but it involves a changing of one's direction, which I gotta say is a much more precise definition of repentance, because let's face it, thinking about changing one's way and actually doing it, two entirely different things. John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So I have a question. Repent to who? Well, obviously God, right? Well, okay, so how do we repent to God? Is it simply, sorry, Dad, I've been bad? No. It's a good start, but no. That's called contrition. Like I said, it's a good place to start, but that ain't repentance, because contrition is a feeling. Contrition is a noun. Repentance is an action. Repentance is a verb. You have to do something, and what you have to do is change. And that change begins with understanding that repentance is not an I can experience. Repentance is not you turning to God. This is not Christianity. It is about his son, Jesus Christ, turning to you, which is why true repentance, true Christian repentance, is not I can, but rather I can't. I'm powerless. True Christian repentance is, my sins are habitual. I cannot save myself. I cannot not sin. Like I said, I'm powerless. Please help me. Now, you know I love Charles Stanley. I mean, that guy, he's the man. I love Charles Stanley. And one time I was watching Charles Stanley, and he said, I cannot live the Christian life. And I thought, excuse me? Come again? You can't live the Christian life. You're Charles Stanley. How could this be? But then he said, but the Christ who lives inside of me can. And then wait for it, if I let him. And this is what I'm talking about, exactly what I'm talking about. Because understand that repentance is very much a renewal of our baptism. Now remember, as we are baptized, we are grafted into the body of Christ. So when we repent, we continue to allow Jesus to live in us and through us. It was of him that the prophet Isaiah has spoken when he said, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. What about you? What about me? I know that when I look over my own life, my own path to the Lord has been anything but straight. I've had left turns. I've had right turns. I've had wobbles. I've had tunnels. I've had roundabouts. I've had curves and hills. And I'm not alone. St. Athanasius put it very well when he wrote, God writes straight with crooked lines. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Once again, what are we repenting from? Repent of what? Repent of what? Repent of what? Well, a short answer to that question is sin. I mean, we're all filled with sin. We are spiritual lepers crying out at the gate, Lord, have mercy on me, because mercy is at the heart of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Greek word for kingdom is basilia, which is where we get the word basilica. And that word is defined as an area ruled by the king, which is why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, I think when most of us think about the kingdom of heaven, we think of some place that we go when we die. But how does that square up with this request? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Or how about the kingdom of God is upon you, or the kingdom of God is at hand, right here, right now? I think a much better definition of the kingdom of heaven is heaven's rule. Heaven's rule here with you. The kingdom of God is at hand. Older translations have comes near. The Greek word is agazo, which means one person coming near another. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, interestingly, this is in the perfect tense. Now, the perfect tense, for any out there wondering, is a past action with continuing effects into the present and future. Because as the great German theologian Hans von Balthasar once wrote, all of time collapses into Calvary. So yes, he has died, he has risen, and he will come again. That is true. But since it is in the perfect tense, as we mentioned last week, he died this morning. He rose this afternoon, and he's coming back tonight. So, how do we respond? What must we do? Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk all about this gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together, we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. If you go to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, 22nd verse, you will read that somebody in the crowd cried out, Lord, will only a few be saved? Which I have to say, I don't know who asked that question, but it's a good question. And how Jesus responded was very telling. He said, strive to get through the narrow gate, for many will try, but won't be strong enough. My friends, understand that if you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that is a very good thing. But you know what? That gets you to the narrow gate, for sure. But it is only once we repent, metanoia, and most importantly, shuv, or shove, that we squeeze through that narrow gate. Remember, Jesus never judged those or condemned those who did not worship or give thanks. Who he judged were those who witnessed his mighty works but didn't repent. Begging the question, what mighty works have you and I witnessed in our lives? Speaking for myself, I can certainly think of a few. In fact, I can think of many. And how should I respond? Well, according to John the Baptist, repentance. That's how I should respond. And it all starts with understanding that we, in and of ourselves, are not strong enough to squeeze through the narrow gate. But the one who lives inside of us can. Or, as the 10-fingered prayer says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. Wow, brood of vipers, really? Sons of snakes? So not only is John the Baptist suggesting that these Pharisees and scribes are snakes, but their ancestors were snakes as well. So he's condemning the entire lineage. Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. What would that look like? How would we do this? Well, if you have been watching Daily Living for any length of time, you would know that I am a big fan of Alcoholics Anonymous. These are people who have managed to put the disease of alcoholism into remission, helping millions. So if you find yourself struggling with alcohol today, you might want to consider this as your sign. AA was founded in 1935 at a kitchen table in Akron, Ohio, by a stockbroker named Bill and a doctor named Bob. It's been hugely successful, this program, as I said, putting the disease of alcoholism into remission. And they do it through what they call the 12 steps. Now, the first step of AA is we have admitted that we are powerless over alcohol and that our lives have become unmanageable. So it all begins with the P word. We are powerless. This is the bedrock. You can't go anywhere to get that concept down. I am powerless. Second step. We have come to believe that a greater power than ourselves, or a power greater than ourselves, can restore us to sanity. Spoiler alert. Okay, that power's name is Jesus. Now, third step. We have made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand him. My friends, this is a perfect snapshot of repentance. I can't do this, but you can, and I'm going to let you. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and being baptized in the Jordan River as they acknowledge their sins. Now, you got to understand, this is just very odd, because baptism wasn't a thing. It wasn't part of Judaism. No righteous Jew would ever be baptized. I mean, of course, they knew about baptism. They had baptism as like, well, I don't know if you call it a sacrament, but it was something that they did, but they only did it when they were using it for conversion. Like, say, for example, a nice Gentile boy meets a nice Jewish girl, wants to keep the family happy, so he wants to convert to Judaism. So the Gentile is converting to Judaism. Part of that ritual involves water baptism. But this, for the forgiveness of sins, no. A Jew, a righteous Jew, never would be baptized. So John the Baptist is treating his fellow Jews as if they are spiritual Gentiles. And of course, we know this is about the forgiveness of sins. That is true. But John is emphasizing something different. John is emphasizing new life. And what is that new life? Bearing fruit. That's what it is. And how do we bear fruit? Well, let's get back to those steps of AA. Step number 5. We have admitted to God, ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongdoing. Step number 6, we are entirely ready to have God remove our defects of character. Step 7, we humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. My friends, the Catholic Church has a name for this. It's called confession. Of course, I have confession every week. And it's the loneliest hour of my week. I do a lot of good meditation, just sitting there, me, myself, and I. Which means that I either live in the holiest place on the planet, in Nitro, West Virginia, or we have lost our sense of sin. And I'm thinking it's the latter, because, my friend, we are all spiritual lepers, crying out at the gate for mercy. But, you know, getting back to baptism, every once in a while, people will ask me, Father, is it okay that I get baptized again? You know, kind of take a dip. I need a spiritual reset. And the answer to that is not really. No, you're not supposed to. Because you see, baptism is what they call an irrepeatable sacrament, one and done, right? But may I suggest, if you are interested and a spiritual reboot, why don't you consider the sacrament of confession? Because the fire of the Holy Spirit will wash you. The fire of the Holy Spirit will reboot you and give you a spiritual reset. If you let it, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in His hand. He will clear His threshing floor and gather His wheat into His barn. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Yeah, do you know what a winnowing fork is? A winnowing fork, well, it's like a pitchfork, you know, and the idea is that you scoop up a bunch of wheat and you throw it up high in the air. And as the wheat falls to the ground, the gravity separates the good wheat from the dusty chaff that blows away. Now, of course, we often associate Satan with a pitchfork, but here we have Jesus using a pitchfork. My friends, we live in a world where wheat and weeds grow together, not only in our world, but in our churches. And not only in our churches, but in ourselves, because we are all in a battle between flesh and spirit. We are all wheat and weeds. We are all justified and at the same time sinful. We all have the promise of eternity, yet we are all spiritual lepers. we're wheat and we're weeds. And you know, the thing about wheat is it cannot separate itself from the chaff any more than a lost coin can find itself. But I know a man, oh yeah, I know a man with a winnowing fork in his hand. So here's the question. When you are thrown up in the air, what will fall on your threshing floor? Will it be fruit worthy of repentance? Yes, my friend, that's the question. In the end, we will all be thrown up in the air. What will fall on your threshing floor? Will it be fruit worthy of repentance? You can read all about this fruit in the 5th chapter of Galatians. Will it be the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, patience, goodness, kindness? Will it be the fruit of faithfulness, gentleness, the fruit of self-control? What fruit will you bear? Remember, you can't blow the chaff off yourself, but he can. And you know, you ought to let him. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, swinging the bat of truth. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.